This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. And we're excited because we have Chris Burgess on the phone with us. And let me get Chris here. Chris Burgess has spent more than 30 years with the CIA and entrusted with our nation's secrets, right? And he has written an article talking about the Microsoft digital escorts, those creepy escorts that Microsoft used to get around federal law, as far as I'm concerned, to allow Chinese engineers to remotely control non-technical people on our cloud systems. Good morning, Chris. You there?
I am here.
So you've got a lot of experience. You've got a lot of experience in the CIA, and you saw this ProPublica article that came out that we, of course, talked about on our program, too. And you wrote this story. Explain to us, if you would, what a digital escort is.
Well, I'm going to use an analogy from my youth.
Yes.
So when I was a 19-year-old, just entered the CIA, I used to do overtime by escorting technical folks that were rewiring a building, for example.
Yeah.
They needed an escort to move around the building because they didn't have the appropriate clearances, but they could pull wire because that was their job.
Sure.
Now, I was the escort for that. Did I understand their pulling of the wire? Hell no.
Right.
Was I able to tell whether or not as they crawled through the vents that they were doing something? No, because I wasn't on their hip.
Right.
But I was there to escort them from one location to another location and make sure they didn't deviate and go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward some 50 some years.
Yeah.
And we now have, we're learning that Microsoft utilized what they call the digital escort program, fully approved by the government.
Crazy.
That allowed them to offshore. And not, it wasn't necessarily offshoring. It was subcontracting technical remediation and support, and that the work would come in and be reviewed by an individual who had the appropriate security clearances to access the classified environment.
Yeah.
So let's daisy chain this. You have the classified environment, or sensitive environments as well.
Mm-hmm.
You have a cleared contractor who has the national security clearance in the United States.
Yeah.
They are tasking and receiving the results from a subcontractor. In this case, the subcontractor is in China. Subcontractor could have been in Boise.
That would have been nice. I would have appreciated that.
I don't see that there had been much difference because neither of those subcontractors probably had clearances.
Good point.
And so what they did was what you and I probably did to our parents, was we listened to the letter of the law, and then we ran right up against it and did everything we wanted to do because mom didn't say not to take the car on Friday night at 11 p.m.
Right.
She said, don't take the car after midnight.
I guess.
All right?
Yeah, I guess.
And so, you know, when you put it in, I like to put things into parental terms, it really makes sense, right?
Well, you're being too nice.
Microsoft's running a business, and they look and say, okay, we're in compliance. And I know you gentlemen have said this at least a million times. Compliant does not equal secure.
It doesn't.
No.
It just equals compliant.
You're right. So, and I appreciate your point of view and how you've stated it. But so here's the thing. Microsoft's a $4 trillion business,
yeah.
And they are that hard up that they have to find resources from communist China, literally, to do this work. And your point is well taken when you have these federal regulations. You would think the CIA, the entrusted assets, I should say, or even CISA to get involved, that was created in 2018, would have been looking at this. Because in your article, I think you talk about their assumption that Microsoft wouldn't do something like this. But when you see something like this, as far as I'm concerned, it puts a really ugly cloud on a company like Microsoft. And what else can we not trust them with? If they're willing to do this.
I would say I'm waiting to hear how the investigation into this comes out, because Amazon, Google, and Oracle are all silent on this.
Of course they are.
They said no comment to ProPublica whether or not they use digital escorts, let alone Chinese engineers, for federal cloud contracts.
Right.
So I am curious to see how this plays out, because I suspect that, like my mother analogy, that if there's an expense to be saved, companies are going to save it.
But the other side of it though is the government, right? So you're in the CIA. You're in the CIA. I don't know how much, if you ever put your life on the line to actually keep things secret in your role, but I'm sure you have.
Well,
colleagues.
I only have two of my nine left. So
okay.
Here we go.
Right. So if you just put it in that context, right? This is Department of Defense cloud-based systems that supposedly have sensitive information on it that people possibly have given their lives for or to protect. You know, the whole
nationals should never have access to sensitive federal data. I think that's pretty straightforward.
Well,
the escort model sidestepped this common sense approach,
right,
by having these cleared Americans input the commands from overseas engineers.
Right.
Whether or not those engineers actually understood what they were inputting, I can't tell you. ProPublica said, "Yeah, probably not." It's one of those things where you go, what were you thinking? And then you answer it, because it's a rhetorical question, they weren't.
Right. They weren't. And again, some of the stuff you identify in your article is that these folks could have injected malicious code, because the digital escorts, to your point about pull and wire, aren't technical either. So it's the blind leading the blind,
even
literally.
If they are technical, do you really think they're going to go through and look at all the code? I hope they do. Maybe they have a great AI engine, Copilot, doing it for them.
Yeah, right.
But the issue remains that we know China is targeting our national infrastructure.
They've already told us, and
we
the FBI has said that. Yep.
China,
yep,
is laying the groundwork for future conflict.
Yep.
This is not new. It's publicly available information.
Right.
And so when we find something like this, and this is why it grabbed my attention, and you know, you read the article over at Clearance Jobs.
Yeah.
And that audience is the national security audience.
Right.
And it was very clear to me that if you're using Chinese engineers, do you really think that the government of China is not going to be clued in on this?
Right. They probably can't believe
it. Anything that's DOD, intel, infrastructure, and infrastructure can be transportation, it can be gas, it can be water, it can be any energy. Hey. The defense cloud is part of that laying the battlefield.
Right. And they charge an arm and a leg, Microsoft does, for their GCC high environments that our manufacturing clients are forced to use in order to protect CUI data so the Chinese can't build a drone or whatever they're trying to protect them from. And then they literally allow these dinglings to access it through these digital escorts. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And you know, we look at all these great engineers coming out of our universities, right? All these they've got these cybersecurity degrees and their data processing degrees, and they're working at Starbucks because a $4 trillion company in the name of Microsoft uses Chinese engineers. Why? Because, of course, they're cheaper. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, what are we doing? What the heck are we doing, man? You just must be beside yourself considering what you spent your time doing protecting all this information. Is there
I view my job today
as
shining the light on issues and making suggestions on for those in the workspace on how they might avoid, you know, whatever is happening. You know, I look at them as teachable moments.
Yes, sir.
This teachable moment is be explicit in your direction. Make no assumptions. I think there is a great assumption here that everyone would understand foreign nationals shouldn't have access to sensitive federal data.
Right.
Well, if mom didn't say no, that means maybe. And if they don't say maybe, that means yes.
Here's the other thing, Chris. So we've got all these legislators, right? And most of them are lawyers. Nothing against lawyers. I have no problem. I have plenty of friends that are lawyers.
I like sharks too.
Yeah, but we need geeks writing these laws because the lawyers have literally have jumped the shark, right? I mean, we can't keep using lawyers to write technical laws about technical things. This whole thing is moving so fast.
How about we make it easy?
Yes.
Only use U.S. persons. Now,
yeah.
U.S. persons can be an individual here as a lawful permanent resident.
Right.
That's a U.S. person. They are allowed to have clearances.
Right.
They're allowed to serve in the armed forces of the United States.
Yep.
All you have to say is, on this contract, you may only use U.S. persons. Bingo. And done. This digital escort would not have been an option to be used with engineers in China. It absolutely, perhaps, I say absolutely, and then I qualify with perhaps, could have been used by the engineers sitting in Boise.
Right. Well, Chris, you want to hang on and talk more about this after we take a break?
Sure.
All right, we're going to keep Chris on, talk a little bit more about what his past has been, and maybe a little bit about China and the fact that Intel has got another issue with a Chinese CEO. So we'll be right back after this break. And we are back. Here's a little escort music for you. We're on with Christopher Burgess, who wrote an article about the digital escorts that are going on with Microsoft. There's an actual escort for you there, Chris, huh?
I like it.
So right. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm waiting for you.
Oh, very good. Yeah. So this is recent in the news, right? There's a big hubbub about the CEO of Intel who has had ties to Chinese companies. And again, the risk to national security. Because again, as you mentioned earlier, the government of China is pretty much aware of anything that's going on with its people. And there's now a concern that the CEO of Intel might have some issues there as well. What do you think of that?
I think nothing of it.
You think nothing of it?
A U.S. citizen.
Yes.
He's Malaysian by birth.
Yes.
He went to school in Singapore. He graduated with a degree in physics around 1980. Went to MIT, got his master's in nuclear engineering. Then later enrolled in the University of San Francisco, where he got his master's in business administration. And then he did what other people did, joined the tech world of Silicon Valley. We got a lot of U.S. citizens that come from other countries.
Not that he came from it. I guess the issue is that he's got so many business interests in Chinese companies.
What I've been reading and what the tropes are, he's Chinese.
Well, yeah, that's not good.
He's ethnic Chinese. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm ethnic Irish.
I had no idea what he was ethnic at all. The key for me was the involvement in these companies where he may be manipulated by the Chinese government, not his actual nationality. But so you're not worried about it. You don't think.
I'm not worried about him as an individual. Now,
right.
if you want to talk about Cadence, the company he led for about 11 years and who was recently, I believe the DOJ put out their notice last week or the week before on the settlement they reached and how Cadence paid $140 million for 59 instances of unlawfully exporting semiconductor to a PRC military university.
Mm-hmm.
He was CEO during that time.
Right. So that those types of connections are not necessarily the same as what Microsoft did with these digital escorts. But should the American government pay attention to having these companies and how they interface with supposed countries who are preparing, as you mentioned earlier in the earlier segment, to position assets to actually bring us down? I mean, we have talked about this with the FBI and all the type of technologies that we're worried about the Chinese putting in our infrastructure to eventually maybe flip a switch. I don't know what switch they're going to flip, but how concerned do you think we should be, Chris? You've been in the CIA for 30 years. That's I would think you would
I've also been in the tech world for an equal amount of time. In 2008, I co-authored a book called Secret Stolen, Fortunes Lost.
Okay.
And in it, I mince no words. If you are doing business in China, mm-hmm. you should expect your intellectual property to be harvested.
Yep.
I joined the FBI at their InfraGuard events around the Pacific Northwest, around mm-hmm. Silicon Valley, lecturing on this very topic.
Yep.
That if you do business in China, China may A, manipulate your system, B, you have to make sure that you isolate your ITAR information from China,
right?
Especially multinational companies that support the U.S. government and support China. There's a lot of business to be had in China.
Sure.
According to the DOJ documents, what we had here is Cadence China employees hid from the corporate compliance teams the end user certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it for a number of years.
Right.
Liu Bhutan was the CEO, but, CEOs, big companies, aren't down there in the logistics department.
No, I know.
And so I think it's a false equivalent.
Okay.
And
that's fair enough. That's why I asked.
A prominent attack on him isn't warranted.
Sounds good. That's why I asked.
The attack on Cadence China, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Should Cadence have been supervising their Chinese employees more diligently? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Should have the compliance office been in there and making sure the end user certificates are there? Absolutely.
Yep.
We know for a fact China, the DPRK, Iran, and Russia are all on steroids as they try to bust sanctions.
I agree. Hey, Chris, we appreciate you being on the program with us today. We'll put a link up to your bio and to your information, and we thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right.
You all have a great weekend now.
Right. You too.
Bye.
And we are back. And we'll post Chris's book, too, once he gives me a link to that so you guys can read the book he talked about in 2008. And, we ran up against the clock there with Chris. We put the articles up, too, about Cadence, which the was fined over $140 million for illegally selling American chip information to Chinese military. And, again, the current president, I guess, of Intel was leading that company at the time. So that's the question that's going on, not his nationality, just that's the kind of stuff that occurred under his watch. And are we concerned that it could be the case under Intel? And again, you juxtapose it with what Microsoft is doing. All these companies need to get their act together because, again, guys like Dennis and I take it seriously that we're supposed to protect our information from a country like China.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with our biggest companies in America, that they're allowing this type of stuff to happen. That's disconcerting.
Yeah.
So to say the least, we'll put the links up there for you. Let's go to Antoinette in Fairfield next. Hey, Antoinette, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay. I have a question or two, and one of them relates to security we were just talking about.
Sure.
And these are things that just tick me off.
All right.
Okay.
It's a family show, Antoinette.
Okay. I'm on the phone talking to you.
Yeah.
But you are going faster than the iPad, which I put on first, then laptop, and now my PC. Why is that happening? The timing is all off.
I can.
And the question is, because this is preview to the question.
Yeah.
When we come to the ball falling at Times Square on New Year's, and daylight savings time changing, how accurate is the time?
Does anybody really know what time it is?
That's my question.
All right. Well, if you did read the article, I've read this recently, that we actually are spinning just a few milliseconds faster as a planet. But I don't know how that impacts your time. What were you going to say, Dennis, about the time?
Well, time is no longer calculated based on the planet.
That's probably a good idea.
It's calculated based on quantum mechanics.
Gotcha.
There are atomic clocks that watch certain quantum motions, and they just count based on that. That's it. And we can post an article about how the atomic clocks work and how they synchronize around the world. And you're right. They are finding out that the Earth is spinning a little bit faster than they thought it was.
Yeah.
And there may be
just
some,
a tiny bit.
Yeah, there might be like a leap second or something that needs to be reversed at some point in order to, you know, reset everything correctly.
It's all because of global warming. I'm just kidding. So, I mean, Antoinette, I think you can trust that we know what time it is these days.
But in answer to your question about the different speed of our show on different devices.
Yes.
The answer can be summed up in one word. Codec.
Mm.
C-O-D-E-C. And that is the way in which the sound of our voices coming into these microphones is then digitized and transmitted. Different devices are using different codecs to get that data.
Right.
And the way that those codecs perform in the field can explain that difference. An iPad will use different codecs than a Windows computer, which uses a different codec than a Samsung tablet, and yada, yada, yada. And the differences between the codecs can be very, very minor, but they do play out that way in the real world. Sure.
All right. Okay.
One quickie.
Yeah.
Password.
Yeah.
This really, really ticks me off. I know my password is telling me it's not, you know, it's wrong. Okay. So I go to click on forgot password.
Right.
I'll go to the site. But now they want me to put in the very password
that I forgot.
How am I going to do that to reset the password?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it with that method. They should give you an alternative method, because obviously putting in a password you forgot does seem kind of counterproductive.
Right.
They should offer you a secondary method of verification that you are who you are, whether they ask you to have it emailed to you because you put that a recovery email in there. There should be an alternative way, but yes, that is kind of frustrating. I've seen systems that do that. You'd think they'd be all gone by now, but no.
Okay, and on one of your shows, could you guys talk about the captures? Because if you're blind or you can't see, how are you going to do a capture? And when you go to voice, I can hardly understand what they're saying. And could you guys at one point go into what is a security key?
A pass key, you mean?
Yeah, pass key, right.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a little device. I don't understand why would I need that compared to two-factor.
It's just another method to secure your access to an account. You turn your phone or you turn a smart device into your pass key by tapping it or touching it or approving something. Rather than putting in a password, it turns the device into your second method of authentication, or your actual method of authentication, which is better than having a third party type in a password, because somebody could be on the other side of the planet typing in your password, but they really can't touch your phone, if that makes sense.
Oh, so I should look into getting one of those.
Yeah, if you can convert your accounts to using passkeys, it'll typically interface with your smartphone device. Typically.
Okay.
It's the easiest way.
All right.
All right, Antoinette?
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, Chicago asked that question long ago. Does anybody really know what time it is?
Yeah.
And clearly Antoinette does care. Let's go to Gene in Middletown. Hey, Gene.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a MacBook M1 processor.
Yeah.
And I've always used Google Chrome, and now all of a sudden it started crashing. I just get this report saying that I have to update Google Chrome. Mm-hmm. I've done that, uninstalled, reinstalled, and it still continues to crash.
Gotcha. So that browser is just not wanting to run on your Apple device.
Yep.
Well, I'm not an Apple guy, Dennis. I'm looking towards you. But, I mean, I would tell you to use a different browser until they get their act together on the Chrome browser. Or is there some sort of incompatibility that you're aware of, Dennis, on the Apple?
That's what I'm looking for right now.
Doesn't make any sense that there would be. Have you fully uninstalled Chrome from your Mac? You have. And so, again, it keeps coming up and crashing. He's got something.
Well, there are several suggestions here, and this is a discussion on Google support forum. And I'm seeing things like if you're going to do an uninstall and then reinstall it, what you do is you uninstall it, and then you also want to go into your own user home library section in Finder and then delete that directory.
Wow.
Then restart the computer and then do the reinstall.
Because
the library is similar to the user profile in Windows.
Oh, gotcha.
And there may be some remnant data in there that is actually the problem and it needs to get cleared out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just keep reinstalling the program with all of that stuff right where it is, it's going to keep failing.
Can you put a link?
Yeah. I'll do that. Okay.
All right.
We'll put that up for you.
Okay.
All right,
Gene. Thank you guys so much.
Our pleasure. You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Yep, you too. So just when you think your Apple device is not as bad as Windows, it is just as bad. We're going to go on. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm going to go on to Ken in West Hartford. What's going on, Ken? Ken, you there?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
I've been having a problem with my email. I go to log in on my desktop, and I got AT&T Yahoo, and it won't let me on, and it says it's not you, it's us. So
okay.
Well, we always knew that, but
yeah exactly.
That's using Firefox. I go over to Chrome, and I do the exact same thing. I get on.
Okay, that's interesting.
I go to my laptop, and I go to Firefox. I can get on, but on my desktop, I get that crazy message.
So it's a Firefox issue on your desktop, not them.
Yeah. Well,
right.
it's Firefox.
In fairness,
yes,
it may still be them.
Okay.
It's just some kind of a glitch in their web software that conflicts with Firefox.
On
and
the
they're aware of it, and they're telling you that.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
Honesty is the best policy. So have you updated your Firefox browser on your PC?
Yes, it automates all the time.
Okay. So in this case, you may have to wait until if it's them, they have to fix whatever issue they're having with the Windows-based Firefox browser versus the other browsers that you're using that are not impacted on the different operating systems, if that makes sense.
Well, why does it work on my desktop, on my laptop then?
This is a great question, right? Just because it's a computer doesn't mean it's a... doesn't mean it's a Big Mac, right? So if you look at a Big Mac, you get, two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, and a pickles, onion, and a sesame seed bun every time, right? So that Big Mac is a Big Mac every time. Maybe somebody threw a little extra pickles or what have you.
Right.
But when
in
I go
theory.
To, right, my Windows PC is, I guarantee you, nothing like the recipe of your Windows PC. You've got a whole different amount of software on there, different DLLs that are updated, all sorts of differences. Everybody's computer is literally different, even if it's running the same operating system. So that's why you might have different results. And that's why being in IT is so frustrating because there's no logical reason. It shouldn't be that way. And we're very logical beings when it comes to IT. We're always looking for, it's only zeros and ones. But your zeros and ones are a whole lot different then my zeros and ones, and you could be saying, Eric, I got the same make, got the same model, I got the same operating system. Yeah, but you've got some weather software on there that you loaded 2 weeks ago. And guess what? That makes your system different.
So what you're saying is I'm held hostage by AT&T Yahoo to update things.
In this one,
even though
they've
been doing this for like 3 weeks.
In this one instance, you're waiting for some sort of fix, so you have some sort of corruption or some sort of problem, because Dennis is taking them at their word. It's their fault.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to just say out loud that you wouldn't see that message unless their web server is recognizing some kind of a response that they understand means something on their side. And that's why they're copping to it.
And they've got enough complaints about it that they've finally had to cop to it.
Yeah.
So believe them. It's their fault.
Okay. And just keep using Chrome.
Oh, you can use Chrome. Right. Just use the alternative. Right.
You have no idea how many customers we have that have to use particular browsers for certain websites. And that's just how it goes, unfortunately. And for all of the reasons that Eric just talked about. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
All right.
Actually, it doesn't.
It makes no sense.
I'm glad it just works, right?
I'm glad we bamboozled you.
it's the world we live in.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, kid. Our pleasure.
Weinberg's second theorem in motion.
Exactly. Let's step out for a quick break. Get to Sue and Mark in a minute. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. There it is. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock and then stick around for Dr. Alessi. He'll come in and give you a second opinion on your health advice. Let's go to your calls. Nice enough to call us on this gorgeous Saturday morning. Let's go to Sue in Bristol. What's happening, Sue?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have a question and a humongous thank you to both of you.
Oh, wow. Well, go ahead.
So we're going to start with a thank you.
Okay.
My brother and I both had, past tense, Yahoo email.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about Proton Mail.
Yes.
Well, Yahoo, in its infamous wisdom, decided that they were going to require authentication every time you logged in.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cell phone that texts. My brother does not.
Mm.
So at first, it would send a telephone call with a code. Well, that worked for a little while, but then they switched to text only.
Mm.
Therefore, they cut a gentleman, a veteran, off from all of his veteran buddies because he could no longer access
his email. Yeah.
So along comes your show.
It's been here for 30 years.
Talks about Proton Mail.
Yes.
Little sister gets a phone call. Hey, Tab Computers was talking about Proton Mail. So I very easily set him up.
Yep.
I was able to log into his Yahoo email myself.
Right.
Forwarded all his messages over to Proton.
Nice.
Set myself up with a Proton account. My only complaint is, I really hate the purple.
It's a grimace color, I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
But other than that, I've had no problem with it. It was easy to set up. It's easy to use.
Yep.
Both of us are able to use it easily. So thank you for the tip.
You're welcome. It's more secure, too.
And now for the question.
Mm-hmm.
I have currently a Google Pixel 3.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking to you on.
Oh, that sounds great.
August is one of those months where you get three paychecks. So I am going to splurge and I'm going to get myself a Samsung. I think it's the 16. It's the S16.
Okay.
And I'm in the same boat, similar to the gentleman who called earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, my stuff isn't as in need of protection as his.
Yeah.
But when I got the Pixel 3, it came with, I know you guys have fancy terms, it came with a doohickey.
Sure.
On one end, it fits into the charger part of my phone.
Right.
The other end is a USB connection.
Yep.
So I've already used that and transferred everything from my phone onto a flash drive, thumb drive, using that doohickey.
All right.
And I'm not using the internet.
Yep.
My question is, do you think the doohickey will fit into the Samsung so I can do the reverse?
Maybe not, because it's the Samsung's probably going to have a USB-C type interface, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, definitely. That Pixel 3 is going to have a micro USB.
Right. But she's done it already to the thumb drive. So maybe it'll work.
You may need like an adapter that can switch between
the micro
USB and USB-C.
Yeah.
So just.
And they might come with it in the Samsung box.
Yes, they may throw that into the box. Yeah. I don't know.
Would also solve the other gentleman's dilemma, how to transfer his stuff without going to the internet. Get an adapter doohickey and put it on a thumb drive.
Yep, that's a way to do it. It's downloaded that way. Yeah.
Well, the only exception to that I would point out is that the Smart Switch app he was talking about using is specifically designed to do what he needs it to do.
Yeah.
So.
Can I do that from the Google to the Samsung instead of what I already did?
Not directly, because I don't know if there's a switching app that will do both.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure.
You'll need
sure.
an intermediary device sometimes at the stores to do that. And that's what I worry about, too. They actually have your data on that intermediary.
Uh-huh.
So be careful about that. I like your idea of using the doohickey.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd put it onto the computer and then go from the computer to the new device.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well, that'll do it. Yep. That's your intermediary.
Yeah, and again, being that you have a Google account, you could always just use the fact that if you back it up to Google's cloud, it'll just download.
You're assuming that I have that I've activated a Google account. You are assuming.
I am.
I saved nothing.
All right. That's fine. I can't assume. I shouldn't assume. But the only thing about having a backup of your phone, like, you know, my son recently had a Pixel 6 battery kind of swell up on him and break. And if he didn't have that backup, he would have lost everything. So keep that in mind. If you're using a doohickey to back it up to a thumb drive, you're good.
And that's exactly what I'm doing. That's my backup. But again, the main reason I called was a heartfelt thank you for the email tip.
Our pleasure.
You're welcome.
It's a great product. And we don't get anything for recommending it, as we don't get anything for recommending anything. Period.
No, but the info you give is good.
Thank you. Thank you, Sue.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. Yeah, definitely check out Proton. It is secure email. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Chris Burgess for talking about Microsoft's use of digital escorts, allowing Chinese engineers into the Department of the DOJ and what have you's cloud systems. We'll have all the links up there for that for you.
Along with a link about how to change the color of Proton. Thanks to Mike G.
I didn't know you could even do that. Thank Carolyn for producing, and thank Mike G for posting everything on our sites.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.